Okay, here we go. Okay, good evening. We're in continuing the Rambam, the Laws of Shechem, Chapter 12, Law 13. Again, exceptions to the rule of Bar Metzra. The person who's the neighbor has a right that you should sell him the property. If he's your neighbor, so he has one contiguous piece of land. If you sell to somebody else, he has a right to buy it off of that other person as if he was his messenger. So we were discussing a number of exceptions to the rule, and here's a few more exceptions. Hamocher li yisalim kedam. Let's say you own a field, and you sold your field to orphans who are underage.
Minors.
And now the neighbor says, hey, you went and sold to somebody else, and I want to get it from them.
Uh-oh.
Ein bo din bal metzer. The neighbor has no rights of the first refusal to go now collect from the orphans. Because why? Because what's the whole reason we let him get it? Because it says you got to do what's right and proper. And the guy is next to the property next door. What are you going to be selling to a stranger when you could have sold them? You should do what's right and proper. But there's a right and proper that trumps your right and proper. The right and proper kindness to orphans is Yosem Ibala Metzer. Takes precedence over a guy who's the next door neighbor.
I thought we couldn't make orphans sell in general.
No, they're buying.
They're not selling, they're buying.
We want them to invest their money wisely.
We can't remove it from them.
We're saying we can't remove it anyway.
The reason we are allowing them to buy the land is if we see it's in their best interest to have this piece of land and they can't take care of this themselves, it's an important chesed to make sure these kids have land that will be a good solid income or whatever. Taking care of orphans is more important.
We couldn't compel them.
If you already sold it, he's saying, and they're minors, can you make them sell it?
We're saying no. That's all the aim. If there's no din bar metzer, that means he's out.
I bet in general that you can't make a minor sell because
he's asking a different question, Rabbi. Not asking whether the minor.
Not just because they're.
Why would you ever want to make him sell?
Not make him, but they can sell. If they're a minor, they can't really have the best.
The best thing could sell it for them if they feel it's Apotropis. Well, that's what we got over here. Apotropis the whole time over here. We're doing it for their benefit.
Apotropis good.
Okay, next case. How about if you sell it to somebody who is a lady? Guy sells a piece of land to a lady, and you did not sell it to your neighbor next door. There's also no law that he can go to the lady and take it. Here is a more aspect of tznius. It's not the way, and this in those days, a woman doesn't go around buying land. And we try to limit how much she has to go outside of the house and to mingle amongst everyone to take care of buying land.
Right.
So, since she's already bought it, chesed hu, it's a kindness to her. She doesn't have to go into the man's world, as it were, and start handling with properties. Okay? So, nowadays, I don't know, because nowadays, you know, women are the same as men. But in
women
the olden
real
days,
agents right now.
In the olden days, women weren't involved in that. And if she, you know, and that's if she's not married or even if she is married, she's a, you know, either way, we don't want to make her have to go out and do this public business more than necessary. So therefore, we worry about the kindness to her as well.
What's the issue of her having it, though? I don't understand what's the issue for her.
She needs a piece of property.
Why should anybody have an issue of her having a piece of property?
Because the neighbor says, why didn't you sell to me first? Remember? It's a law of Bar Metzra. Remember, let's review the Bar Metzra. If I sold to an outsider, he can force that person to sell it to him. You have to do what's right for me. I'm the neighbor. How come I was waiting all this time to have an extended piece of property. When sold to a stranger, it's not fair. It's not right. But now we're saying there's other rights that keep trumping. There's a hierarchy of rights. You got orphans as a hierarchy. A woman is a hierarchy. We want to do what's right and proper. So you're right. You have a certain degree of right and proper, but these take precedence over your right and proper.
She's splitting hairs, but if she was a widow, would she retain the property based on the one we learned about orphans, or would she base?
No, it's a seven. It has nothing to do with an orphan.
Well, orphans and widows, we treat
them with chesed.
But even as a woman,
but for different reasons. For different reasons, though. An orphan, because they don't have the sense to take care of themselves, so we have to take care of them because they can't take care of themselves.
And a widow, she doesn't have
a
the
woman,
means.
We don't, not the means, we don't want her to compromise on her tznius.
So it wouldn't be for the same reason. We wouldn't say like we treat orphans special, we treat widows.
Well, we treat them special, but for different reasons.
We don't have to come on to widow because a woman alone sounds.
She's like not even a widow. Even if she's not a widow.
No, they say in the footnote that you got
even
be,
if she's married,
be careful that she's not doing it as a ruse to buy for her husband.
Yeah, that's the first thing. I
yes,
thought.
But that's true.
So she's a widow, or more believable.
Let's put it in her name.
Yes, we have to worry. There's no ruse. Yeah, of course, that's true. Okay, so now that we've taken this step, that a woman gets this benefit, so let's take it to the next logical step. What if Mocher Lutumtum Vandroginos? What if he sells to the guy that has simonim of a male or a female, or we don't know the simonim? Either case, it's a doubtful, it's a woman. So now that Tumtum has bought it, so now we have to go on the side, err on the side of, or what do you call it? Err on the side of
caution,
whatever.
Yeah,
and therefore, the guy says, listen, Tumtum, go and I'm going to buy it off of you. But if in case he's a lady, it's not right and proper
not
for him.
Not at all.
So therefore, Ein Balametzer Yochel Asalkum. So the neighbor cannot push them off. It's a doubt if they're a woman. And we go with the Chazaka, that now that it's sold, it's sold. And therefore they have it as well. Okay. Now we get to a little bit more of an interesting case, Tezayim. We already know that it's possible that I can own a piece of land and I can sell trees that are in my piece of land, and I could sell to them that they have a right to own some of the land under the tree. Mm-hmm. We already discussed this. Yeah. And if the tree dies, then they can replant. Mm-hmm. Remember?
And that,
I got a big field, and I got three trees here, and I really don't care for them. The guy would like to have them. He'd like to, you know, grow the oranges and harvest oranges and this and that. And I'm giving him rights to the property. That means, let's say if the tree dies, he can replant the tree on my property. So now, or let's say I give him a right to build a house on my property, or I sell him the house on my property. So now, let's see if they get a status of a bar mitzvah before the other guy. Let's say the guy with the land is going to sell his land to the guy with the trees on his land. So, but there's a neighbor says, wait a minute, I'm the next door neighbor. So who's going to win out in this scenario over here?
Oh, yes, partial
ownership. Let's say the land belonged to one of these guys. And in this land, there's a binyan, there's a house. Or trees, and they belong to the other guy. You know, he sold, the guy who owned the land, sold his house to this guy, or sold trees to this guy. Now, here's the important point here. If when he sold the trees or the property, he sold them and saying, you not only have the tree, but I'm giving you the rights to own the land under the tree. Or I give you the rights to own the land under the house. Just what's under the house and nothing else. But he is really giving him property, not a lot, but some property. Then call echad mehem bemetzer. So each one's considered the neighbor of the other. So the guy wants to sell his property. Well, the guy, I got a neighbor here, but I got a neighbor right in here who owns part of my land. So if he wants, so he really has the status of the Baal Metzer.
Creating a neighbor.
So therefore, if I own the land and I first own the trees, and then later on, 2 years from now, I want to sell him my property, the neighbor next door says, well, you should have sold to me. He says, what are you talking about? This guy who owns the trees and the land on earth, he is a closer neighbor than you. That's what he's saying. Lefikach, therefore, mochar echot. Now, it goes either way. What if the guy wants to sell the trees back to the guy who owned the property? And the neighbor said, but I'm the closer, I'm the neighbor. No, you're not closer than these guys within the same property. So it goes, lefikach, imochar echot mehem chalko. If either one sells his portion to the other, the guy who owns the property, he sells his property, the guy owns the trees on his property. Or the guy owns the trees on a property, sells it to the guy's property. They take precedent. So now let's say they sell it, to somebody else. Then Chaver Mesagel, he can push it off. Because he has a more bar mitzvah situation. In other words, if the guy with the trees decides to sell it to a third party, the guy who's the property there can say, no, you have to sell it to me first, because I'm the bar mitzvah. If the guy has the land and he sells the property to somebody else, the guy owns a tree, says I'm a bar mitzvah. Notice you can be a bar mitzvah without actually having a full field there. Okay? You got the idea? In other words, each one is considered the bar mitzvah to the other. Forget about the other guy. I shouldn't have mentioned the other guy. Yeah. Just right over here, these two guys here. So now I got the land and you got the trees. Neither of them can sell to a third party before this guy agrees, because he is considered a bar mitzvah in that situation.
He's the priority bar mitzvah.
So that neighbor better buy that tree, or he's going to have competition. He's going to have a neighbor that's a new neighbor.
But that's the relationship he had with the old guy. He sold me his trees in his field, so I'm already in this guy's field. So now it's going to be a different guy's field. But he can refuse that.
But he sells. He doesn't sell.
He only can sell what he can sell. If he already sold the trees or house to somebody else, he can't sell that. But what if the original sale, he only sold him the trees, but not the land under the trees? Or the house and not the land under the house? Because really the landowner could tell him anytime, pull your tree out, man, because I don't want you to be on my land. I only sold you the tree. Or take your move your house out. He legally could, because he never gave me land. Now let's say Umachar Bala said, and now the owner of the field sells his field. Well, then the purchaser gets it, and the guy who owns the house and the trees, he's not considered a bar mitzvah because he doesn't own any of the property. He has no rights to the property. The purchaser gets it. The owner of the trees alone and the home alone cannot remove the purchaser because he doesn't really, that other guy doesn't really have any land per se. But the reverse, the guy who owns the house and the tree sells it. Well, the owner of the property is considered a bar mitzvah in that case. So the owner of the land could push out the new purchaser. So basically, it depends who's got ownership of land. If they both have ownership of land, then each one's the bar mitzvah of the other. If only one of them has ownership of land, he's the bar mitzvah, and the other one is not the bar mitzvah. Okay, one last interesting case. Could there be two pieces of land that are adjoining, but there is now a gap in between them? At what point will the gap mean that they're not neighbors? Let's say here's one property, here's another property, and I got a big river in between.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're the nearest one, that doesn't mean it's a contiguous field, because there's a thing in the between. So what is the minimum? How are we going to measure that amount to make it contiguous or not? Yes, a ravine, something like that.
Yeah.
So let's see what it is. Yud Zayin, ha yamafsik beino bein metzer. Let's say between one property and the neighbor's property. Shachavar, there's a rechev dekolim. There is a row of date palm trees, one next to each other. So that's separating the two fields. Obinyan gavoa, or there's a big structure in between the two fields. Vechazak, and it's strong. Ogoma, or a reed swamp. Ukiyes, or anything similar. So there's something in between the two properties. So what's going to be the rule of thumb? Roy, let's see one thing. Is it possible that in between the two properties, is there some space? If you're able to plant one furrow, one row of crops in between and negotiating around or whatever the other things that are there, in a way that would combine the two fields, even though you've got these other things there, then Hareza ben Metzer Shalo, he's considered a neighbor, umasagalech, and he could remove a purchaser. Vimlavati, if he can't plant even one row in between the two fields, ain't masagalech, he can't remove the purchaser because he's not considered.
What does he mean between the two fields?
The
tell me what you
what's
mean.
The size?
You've got a field here, you got a field there, and here you got a whole bunch of date trees.
Okay.
Now, if you're able to, next to the date trees, plant a whole, between the two fields, plant a whole row of whatever similar things growing here, then it's considered one long field.
Just a
how
row.
About if you got a ravine, you can't do any of that?
If you can't, you can't. The rule is, is it possible that they could plant a row in between the two fields or not?
So you should always leave a little space at the end to make that going, because if you plant right up to your end of your property line, exactly.
No, your property line is the end of your property line.
Right.
Property lines, let's say, end by the margins here.
Okay,
yeah?
Okay.
Now, this is the in-between.
Okay.
Okay, now, we've got a nice little bunch of palm trees growing here.
Right.
Now, if I can plant a whole row of something in between, what?
I
don't know.
It doesn't matter.
I don't care.
So if it's a river, it may not be that option.
If it's a river, you don't have that option. Yeah. Clearly, if there's a river in between.
If there's an island in the river that you can both plant on.
No, but the whole idea we're saying is the guy's saying, why did you sell this? While I'm doing one field, I could do the second one right next to it. So if there's nothing over there, then there's nothing over there.
So what's the distance? I still don't understand. When
it's not a distance. It's what can you plant something, a row, another row in between the two. So that makes them contiguous.
Together.
In between this and this, you got, let's say here he's growing edamame beans, and here's growing edamame beans. Two separate guys. And here you got a date trees all across. If we can plant a row of edamame beans here, then you can say, listen, I could have, for this money already, I could have been collecting everything together. Then this connects the two fields. Yeah. That's the whole point.
That's it? Just the connection? Not connection.
The connection.
If I hate my neighbor...
You don't hate your neighbor.
You just don't like him.
And I want to sell my land to my friend. Can I sell him 90% of my land and leave a strip?
Okay, so we're going to talk about that. That is coming up in one of the next halachas in this next perek. It's exactly, not exactly, but it's the same case. It's going to be a halacha, hey, is your case. I don't know if we're going to get there today, but if not today, tomorrow.
You don't leave till again.
But the basic answer is you can't fool the best. Or they're going to know what you had in mind. Yeah, if they could figure you got this shtick going, they're not going to allow 90%. It to happen. So there'll be ways of determining that. Okay, now we go to more exclusions of the law of Bar Mitzvah as we enter the 13th chapter. Now, let's start with case number one. Remember, the premise is if I'm selling my field, so all I really need is cash. So why did I give it to somebody else when I could have given it to the guy next door? It's really no difference.
Same cash.
Right? But if there is a difference where the purchaser would suffer, the seller would suffer, then he will doesn't have to give it to the other guy. So here, let's have another example. How about if I have a piece of property and I gift it to someone else? I didn't sell it. I gifted it to someone else. And then the bar mitzvah says, well, why'd you give it to him?
Give it to me.
You could have given it to me.
Yeah, I'd have taken it.
Or the guy will buy it from him or something like that. Yeah, so let's see what's going to happen here. So how do you know if something is a gift or a sale? That really is the main issue here. Maybe it's a ruse also.
Yeah.
So that's the next three halachas, I believe, are going to discuss this idea. So maybe we can get these three in before the night's out.
But not an inheritance.
What? Not about inheritance. No, a gift. I own a piece of land and I'm giving it to Mark.
Totally
right? And now the guy says, what'd you give it to Mark for? I would have bought it. Right? Hanoisin matona. If you give someone a gift, ain bo din ben metzer. There's no law of the next door party could say he wants it. Because the guy who receives it says, you know, I couldn't. The guy who receives it says, I'm not going to get a gift from somebody else. It's not a question of, well, you know, buy a field. Buying fields, you can buy fields all, you know, so you bought it here. So buy a field somewhere else. But getting a gift, you know, not too many people give you gifts, right? So the receiver can't get the get a gift so easily, and there's no idea of doing what's good and proper. And the seller also, he could say, listen, this is the guy I wanted to give the gift, and I didn't want to give you the gift. I have certain rights of giving gifts. Sales, it's different. Sales, it's just cash. So what's the matter? You give me cash, he gives me cash. I gave the guy a gift because he's my good friend and I owe him favors or whatever and I'm happy to give him a gift. I should give you a gift. And even if you're going to buy from him, I didn't want to give him money. I wanted to give him a piece of property. So therefore, there's no law because it's not the same thing. When it's selling, you say, let's sell to me, sell to somebody else. You end up with the same cash. But no, I want to gift the guy the thing. So now you're telling me I can't gift to him? That means you're taking my rights away from me. That we don't allow. But now the question is, how do we know if something is a gift or just a ruse? You know, because he could just gift it to him because he didn't, but really he took cash under the table. Can you imagine, you can always say, well, why'd you sell it? So I gave it to him.
That's not honest.
Time to swear.
Why do I have to swear? Just assume I gave it to him. Why do I have to swear? So we're going to see. So let's see what it says in the Shtar. And this is important now. When you gift someone, now there could be all kinds of liabilities that can happen to things you are giving, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, let's say if I sell you something, there's certain liabilities. Maybe I wasn't allowed to sell it. Maybe I owe somebody some money or something. So what if when the gifter writes in the Shtar the following? So the way we could find out is that there must be some kind of shtar written here. So what kind of shtar was written? And what kind of shtar would you written? Would you write if you gave someone something? And what kind of shtar would you write if you said you gave, but really it's a sale? In other words, where would you have to assume more liability if you're the one giving it? By giving or selling? If I'm giving you, why would I want to take any liability? So it's the kindness of my heart to give it to you. That's I wouldn't really take on any liabilities.
So any
if I sell you, then it's only reasonable I take on certain liabilities because you've paid money for it and I have to be a little bit responsible. But if I'm giving you something, would I want as the gifter to take liabilities to prevent you from losing? You didn't pay, you didn't lose.
So let's take
a look at what the shtar says. That's what we're going to say. Okay, you must have given him a shtar. Even if you gift something to someone, you got to write a shtar.
So
what I would normally, if I want to give you a piece of property, I say, listen, I'm giving you a piece of property, but I want you to know if somebody's going to come with liabilities, I'm really sorry they're going to take it away from you. The gift only goes so far. Then we'd assume it's a real gift. Well, if the guy says, I'm giving to you and I'm going to assume all liabilities, wait a minute, since when do you give someone something? Whoa. That's called under the table. I write on the paper, I'm gifting it to you, and I assume liabilities, and under the table, you went and gave me $200. We're just going to tell everybody it's a gift, so the neighbor can't get involved. So now let's take a look. If on the document it writes, matana, the supposed gift document, it's she'ach rayus matana, saying that the liability of the gift is on the giver.
Oh boy.
And if someone will, chap, in other words, he's saying, if somebody will come and take your field because I owed the money, I'm going to pay you back.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really? I'm going to pay you back when I gave you a gift? So yesh b'din metzer. Then the neighbors, I'll say, this is phony baloney, and I'll just give him the money and take the field. Because you really sold it to him and you didn't give it to him. Hove yesh b'achray, since there's liability, clearly it's a mechir. There was a sale going on over here. You're just fooling us. V'lo kasav, so why'd you write it was a gift? Elevatus chus b'metzer. You want to avoid the neighbor taking it because you hate his guts. You ate his guts. You don't want to do what's right and proper. The last thing I want to do is you should, you know what? Why didn't you want to sell your property? You know why? Because I know you want it. That's the way it always goes, right? That's called wickedness.
That's just
right?
Not
that's what wickedness is. Because you want it, that's why I don't want to give it to you. So we say you got to do what's right and proper. So what is the guy clever? He says, okay, I'm going to gift it to the guy. Guy says, but I'm really going to sell it, but I'm going to gift it to you. Yeah, but what if you really owe somebody? Okay, I'll write in that I'll pay you. So then what kind of gift was that? So they know the guy's lying through his teeth. Now the question is, okay, so now you said it was a gift. See, you know, this is one of these cash deals, right? It's like when you want to go to the to sell a car and buy a car, and you tell them, well, just say it's a gift, right? And what do they do? Well, we're going to look up the book value. The book value is $5,000. Don't tell me you gifted it to him. We at least want our taxes on the
$5,000.
Unless it's family, I understand.
Family, you're allowed.
But anyway, but the point is, so we say, listen, the way you wrote it, we know you did a sale. You just wanted to avoid the bar mitzvah, but we're wise to you. So now what happens? So now the neighbor can buy it. Now the question is, what does he pay for it? Because there was no amount of, if it normally was a sale, if it was a regular sale, and I have a bill of sale, the neighbor goes, listen, it says you paid $200, here's $200, and give me the field. But here it says it was a gift. But you know, it's not a gift. So then how much does he pay? The answer is, the common, how much you give him? Mashi, what it's worth. Very logical answer. In other words, you know what it would normally be the market value, you do this.
So is that the base din that assesses that?
Well, yeah, we'd have to figure out, you know, how it works out.
Well,
they
have the IR estimators there.
So that's how that works. So that's how he has to pay. Now, what's the base, the continuation of Aleph. So let's say the guy confesses. Okay, you're right. We tried to fool you, but I'll tell you how much I paid. Omar halokech. So the guy says, okay, we wrote a gift, and you were wise unto us. You see it's written, and you're going to go to Shlomo's court. Okay, fine. I admit. Kainhu, you're right. Varama, sinu, we made a trick, and I admit to you, mechira really was out. But the thing is, still didn't say how much he paid for it. But the purchaser is very happy to volunteer what he paid for it. And bekach vekach kunisiyah, that's how much I paid for it. $200, $300.
Just to give an oath.
Right? So now the question is, do we have to say, well, I don't care what you paid for it. I'm just look what the market value is. Well, that doesn't always work that way because sometimes people will pay more than market value.
Sure.
It's possible you wanted to have it and you paid whatever. You needed it quickly and you want to have. That could be, and if the guy honestly paid, you know, let's say for a $200 property, $300, He could have done that. So now the guy is admitting. If the guy is saying, no, we didn't, it was a gift. We say, we don't care. You're a bunch of liars. Since you're liars, we're not going to take your word for what the sale was for. We'll just check it out. But he says, okay, you're right. It was a thing. Okay, now I'll tell you, I spent $300 on it. So now what does he do? Nishba, he makes an oath. Benikita Schaif is holding a holy item. Venotel kedin hashluchim. And now he gets to take that money. If the guy wants to buy it from him, he takes that money. In other words, he'll allow the purchase from the neighbor to pay it as if I was a messenger to buy it.
Right.
But however, v'yirali, it appears to me, you got to pick a price that's reasonable. Maybe a little more, maybe a little less. Let's say everyone says it's worth 100. He says, yeah, you're right, I paid for it. But my son and I paid 200.
Whoa.
Instead of 100. Well, then we know he's not 200%.
Believed. 200%.
In other words, he could go a little high, within reason.
125.
It could be a little bit more than market value, a little less than market value.
Is he swearing because he got caught? Is that the reason why he's
No,
swearing?
Because the guy, they caught him. They realized this was not a gift. He said, you're right, it's not a gift. I really paid $125. Okay, so now he never was, he said it was a gift. So you might want to tie in it. Here's what your question really is. So if they're lying, why should you believe him now?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. So if it's a proven liar, it has to swear.
Well, no, but it's not a proven liar. The guy said they wrote down a gift, but he didn't lie. He wrote as a gift, and the guy was wise to him. Says, okay,
you're right,
but this is what we paid. Okay, so now, you know, writing one thing is one thing, and swearing an oath is another.
Yeah. It's a big thing.
You know, you'll write, you know, I think you'll write it's a gift when it was a sale to get the government back. But Alvin says, okay, you know, we know it's a sale. How much was it for?
Yeah, give me an oath.
The guy comes forward. He admits. Yeah. If he's not admitting, he says, no, it was a gift. And says, then gift a he didn't gift a hair.
He's out of here.
It was a sale. And you, no, him. No, it was a gift. And he didn't give me a, fine. But you know what? We think it's $100. Here's $100 and get out of here. Guy says, you're right. It was a sale. And this is what the sale is for. So you say, yeah, okay, they were a little bit shrewd in writing it was a gift. But when it comes to swearing, we're not going to assume that he's going to lie and swear. As long as he's within reason, he is believed.
Okay.
So let's do one more, and that will finish up this little segment here. Gimel. Let's say this was written in the gift shtar. He says, I take accept responsibility for this gift. Shim teitzei miyado, that if it would be taken away from him, etin lo masayim, I'll give him 200. Even though it was only worth, let's say, 100. In other words, they find out he did accept a responsible liability. Right away, that tells us it's not a gift.
That's right.
But he wrote how much liability he's going to take. He didn't just have liability for what he paid, for what it, what's worth. He says a price that's an inflated price. And now the Ben Metzer catches him and says, you know, this means that you sold it to him. Yeah, you're right. And look what it says, that I'm going to give him $200 if somebody takes it from him. Then, Nosen lo ben Ametzer Messiahim, he has to give him 200, Vachach Messiah, and then he get rid of him, even though it's not worth 100, because that's what he was willing to pay him. Because in reality, what would have happened if the Ben Metzer would not have caught them? And then later someone took the field.
200.
What would the seller have to give him? 200. And that was the deal I made. And now you're just taking that over. So since he made that deal, it was a real deal, even though he overpaid. And it's in the shtar, then he has to assume that liability.
That could be a ruse as well. How do you know there's somebody you have to research that before you did that? Like, say, I'm going to give you 200 here. This is worth 200. Yeah. Someone comes, collects 200. Now you make the neighbor pay the inflated price. I'm just giving that as
well, he doesn't have to pay it.
No, he has to pay if it's written there.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
but I mean, the neighbor doesn't have to buy it if he doesn't want it.
Well, so the commentaries say where we see there wasn't a ruse, that caught with a ruse. It says when that caught with a ruse.